Baltimore had a day school?
This is not related to the Parsha, but I would imagine that if you have email, that this week you probably got an email from some sort of organization or a friend or a family member who likes to send you emails about a petition to sign related to the old cemetery in Vilna in order to save this cemetery. What's the story? There was an old cemetery in Vilna, and that is where all the famous Rabbanim of Vilna were buried, and at a certain point a new cemetery was built. And the old cemetery, part of it was built over by the Soviets when they had control of Lithuania at that time in Vilna, and part of the cemetery remains, but a good part has already been ruined. You can see pictures of this giant Soviet athletic center on top of the cemetery. And right now, there's a movement to build more on top of it, essentially wipe out the last remnants of the old Vilna cemetery. So what we'd like to do in discussing this very famous cemetery and why, besides the fact that there are Jewish people buried there, and we'd like to preserve the graves if possible, but also we'd like to understand the historical significance in, through the lens of halacha, three interesting halachic points that are all related to the Vilna Gaon, and how they come from this old cemetery in Vilna. And if we were to lose access or have the cemetery, we'd be losing a piece of the halachic world, the famous halachic issues that come and depend on the cemetery. So we'd like to begin and try to discuss three halachic issues or adventures, so to speak, that come out of the old cemetery in Vilna. But before we do that, let's just discuss very quickly the issue at hand here and how far does the Jewish community have to go in order to stop building on the lands of a Jewish cemetery. We'll save the sugi outside. The Mar Makomos here are not for that. But just very quickly, the Gemara Megillah Chav Tesla and Aleph says, one should not have kalas rosh, should not act frivolously in the cemetery. This is cited in the Shulchan Aruch in Shin Samaches. Now the Shach there says that it all has to do with the idea of kavod hames, the idea of honoring the dead, and certainly be inappropriate to walk into a cemetery and act in a disrespectful way in a cemetery. Now the Ramah continues that if the local Gentile ruler uses the cemetery land to have his animals grazed, and it would be too expensive to pay him off to stop him from using the cemetery land to graze his animals. So in this case, kavod hames allows, since the mason wanted or may bury there, not to be disturbed by the goyim. And therefore, he says, you don't have to make such a protest if you cannot convince the goyim from grazing their animals on the land, because better that the mason should rest there in the land, and if some goats are eating up the grass, then it's not the end of the world. And says the Ramah, you can remain quiet. Now, he says, if the tzibur is in the position to make a macha, to make a statement, to stop the goyim from using the cemetery, or they can afford a payment to stop the non-Jews from using the cemetery, then certainly it is the responsibility of the Jewish community to stop the kalas rosh, or the inappropriate activity, going on over cemetery land. This is cited in Shulchan Aruch. Nobody argues with this halacha from the Ramah. Now, there in Shulchan Aruch, the Pesach Tshuva, in Sifkat and Dalad, cites a lengthy tshuva from the Shivas Tzion in Simen Samach Beis. He doesn't recite the whole tshuva, but I'll tell you outside the entire tshuva. The Shivas Tzion says that the above ruling of the Ramah needs to be qualified. He says, if the goyim want to build a road that goes through the cemetery, then you must certainly protest and pay whatever the tzibur can bear, possibly. If they want to actually build through it, this is different than simply having animals graze on cemetery land. He says, in the case of using the field to graze, first of all, it's only temporary, and also eventually, so this Polish governor is going to die or move somewhere, and the grazing is going to stop. It's not going to be a permanent thing, and therefore the practice will stop. In addition, using the grass to graze is not such terrible kalas rosh, and not such a terrible bizayon, desecration to the dead, as well. In the case of the road, it's going to be permanent, and also it's going to be impossible to switch it back from a public thoroughfare. Once you put a four-lane highway through the cemetery, even if something happens in the future that you could potentially stop it, it's not so easy to reverse such a public use of the land at that point. Therefore, he says, it is a chiyuv, a responsibility on the tzibur, to raise the money and to stop a road from going through the Beis HaKvaros, even if it will be a financial burden on the tzibur. That's how far they have to go in order to raise the money to stop such use of the land. And if one cannot raise the funds or stop the building, then you have permission to reintern the bodies in a different location in order to prevent damage. And it's a mitzvah to do anything to protect any bizui or tsar of the mason. And there's no greater bizui of the mason than to build in such a terrible way over the land of the cemetery. So says the Shiva Zion, certainly related to the case of the Vilna Cemetery. If there's something that we as the community can do to stop the building there, then it's our responsibility to do so. So says the Pesach Tshuva. Now, there's another tshuva, the Shiva Tzion, in Samech Gimel, the next tshuva. And he discusses a cemetery that was not used in over 100 years, which is also similar to our case in the Vilna Cemetery. Nobody has been buried in the Vilna Cemetery in way over 100 years. And in this case, the governor of the city wanted to pave over the cemetery and build his palace on the Jewish cemetery. He wanted to purchase or to exchange land with the Jews. Now, the Jews couldn't say no to the deal, or else the governor would turn against the Jews, and it would create terrible anti-Semitic problems for the Jewish community and big issues. So the Shiva Sion says in this case that if the case was that he was going to simply take it against their will, then it's better to have him take it against their will than to hand it over. Meaning, if you have a choice of the government taking the land or giving it to the government, better you should be shevi al tasa, don't do anything, and better have it extracted than the Jewish community have a whole ceremony and honor the government in building over the Jewish cemetery. Now, in this case, there could be other bad repercussions as well. There could be issues of anti-Semitism that would spill over outside of the land itself. And therefore, it is their responsibility to pay as much as they can to stop the governor from taking the cemetery. And if this is not possible, they should reintern the mason again somewhere else. Now, why is it that reinternment is always an issue of last resort? Because this has to do with another halach in Shulchan Aruch. Because the Shulchan Aruch says earlier in Yerodea that one of the most difficult things for the mace, for the neshama, the body of the mace, is reinternment. It's considered very kasha, says the Shulchan Aruch. It's considered very bad for the spirituality, the neshama, whatever it is, for the body to be removed. And therefore, we always use that as the last possible thing. And you always find Shuvos trying to discuss, is it permissible, not permissible, to move the body, because the effects on the neshama of the body are deemed to be very, very difficult. So there is a sheet of the Chazon Ish that seemingly disagrees. And the sheet of the Chazon Ish is not that often quoted, I would imagine, because it comes out with a very, very big kula that does not fit with the usual assumption that we should stop all building no matter what when it comes to cemeteries. Let's look at the Chazon Ish here in Yerodea in Reish Ches Hei. So the Chazon Ish understands that there's a difference between Kalis Rush and Bizayon. He says as follows, Venira, Dim Osin Ha'akun Mesila Alav. If the non-Jews want to build a train over the Jewish cemetery, Ein Kan Rak Mishum Kalis Rosh, V'ein Mefanim Bishvil Zeh. He says that this is only Kalis Rosh. If they're going to build over the land, it's only considered something that's not proper, but it's not a Bizayon. He says, if you ensure that there's 10 tfachim of dirt above the bodies, so then that's considered a different location, says the Chazon Ish, and you can build on top of it. If you were to build, for example, a bridge that was 10 tfachim above the kvarm as well, that would be fine. If you have shir desagi, begimel tfachim, adal tfachim, maybe if you really need to, you could rely on 3 or 4 tfachim, not 10. If you have shir kasha lahakel, beli raim, mikamakam roi lahachna lishtad, bimakam shiavshar. It says, in every possibility you can, you should try to be machmim, but in a case of over here, you have no choice, as long as it's 10 tfachim, there's room to be makel. And he says, we only move bodies for bizayon. If there's actually going to be an issue of the bones being moved or touched, that's the only time we move bodies. But if you can ensure, says the Chazon Ish, that the dirt will remain intact, and they're going to build on top of the dirt, so then he felt that that would be not an issue. Yeah.
Practically speaking, tent fachim building is inconsequential.
It's always going to be under 10. It's usually under 10 tfachim already.
It's always more.
Correct.
Because you're putting the foundations down.
100%. So the Chazon Ish comes out with a big kula. This is certainly not in the spirit and of what we generally practice when we defend burial sites, and generally we try to keep all things off of burial sites, but there is such a shiti of the Chazon Ish that we're just citing for the sake of intellectual honesty.
What's the requirement that this is to be, that this can be nothing on top, or just that, I mean, like, it's well aware, I mean, so in Israel now they're putting bodies one on
top of another. So as long as there's a separation of 10 tfachim, it's considered a different rishus. And
they are,
I don't know what they're practicing doing when they're building these high-rise cemeteries.
10 feet, not that much, but still like 40 inches. I doubt they're doing that.
I'm not entirely sure what they're doing, but just to be aware, there is such a sheet of the pavement.
And it seems like people do, I'd say, relatively routinely move people from here to Israel.
Correct. So those are questions. When it comes to moving bodies to Eretz Yisrael, the question is, that's considered a greater kavod for the Mesa than Eretz Yisrael, so we're leaning to those cases. Let's turn now to the three halachic issues that depend on the old cemetery in Vilna. Let's begin. The Vilna Gaon was against the minhag to visit graves, even the graves buried in the old cemetery in Vilna. And in his famous letter he wrote to his family before he tried to travel to Eretz Yisrael, he writes to his wife and children, "V'tishmor shlotelech lebeis hakarov klal klal." You should never ever go to the cemetery, says the Vilna Gaon. "Kisham misdabkim haklipos ba'nashim v'koshim v'nashim." There are terrible spiritual aspects that cling to a person after going to the cemetery. "V'chol hatzaros v'avonos ba'mizeh." And all tzaros and difficulties that come to a person come through frequent visiting of the cemetery. Now, there are debates and discussions regarding the girsos of this letter. If you look in the Kovei Tishurin Lamed number 30, so the article there discusses different versions of this letter. But let's run with this assumption that the Gra felt that it's not a good thing for people to visit the cemetery unnecessarily outside of actual burials. Even more so, the Aliyos Eliyahu, which is one of the famous books about the Vilna Gaon that was published after his lifetime on page Samach Vav, so he says that it's well known that the Gra was against visiting graves, and he didn't even visit his mother's grave in the Vilna cemetery because of the negative spiritual feeling that came from visiting the cemetery. He didn't even go visit his mother's grave. Now, the Mesorah was kept in the base medrash of the Gra. Rabbi Shechter writes in Nefesh HaRav in page Reishon and Dal that Rabbi Salvechik did not visit Beis HaKvaros because of the failing Mesorah of the Gra. Things changed later on after his wife passed away, and he would go at certain points, but Mi'ikar Hadin, the Salvechik family was careful about this Mesorah from the Beis Medrash to the Vilna Gaon to not go to the Beis HaKvaros unnecessarily. And Rav Shechter says it was because of the possibility of appearing as if one was davening to the deceased, to be Dorish Al Hamesim. And not everybody agrees that that's the reason why the family didn't go. We already cited the reason of the family because of the spiritual negativity that comes from the cemetery. Rabbi Salvechik writes in Halachic Man on page 36, he says, "The Gaon of Vilna, Rabbi Joseph Dov Salvechik, the Beis Halevi, his son Rav Chaim, his grandson Rav Moshe, Rav Elia Prejaner, Feinstein, never visited the cemeteries. The memory of death would have distracted them from their intense efforts to study the Torah." So perhaps a third approach, some aspect of negativity coming from visiting the cemetery. Now, the Mishnah Brura in Taf Kuf Nun Tes, Sif Katan Mem Aleph, in the Halachos of Tisha B'Av, it's not here on the sheets, we'll get to the sheets in a moment, he writes that above all, to visit the grave, even if you should only try to stand more than Dal Amos away, because the fear of Ruach Ra, this is based on the comment of the Magen Avraham, there in Taf Kuf Nun Tes as well, and he says, based on the Kisvei Arizal, a person shouldn't go to the cemetery only for burying, not in any other times, because of Ruach Ra. And there's a discussion whether this halacha of the Magen Avraham is only a din in Tisha B'Av, but many poskim apply it outside of Tisha B'Av. And the Aruch HaShulchan also writes there in Taf Kuf Nun Tes in Sif Zion that the Arizal was against visiting graves other than the time of the burial. And nowadays people go, and people go to the cemetery and they engage in Bittul Zman and they engage in Kalas Rosh. And the Aruch HaShulchan says, you know, the cemetery is not a place to go hang out.
So the Re was opposed to people in the cemetery?
Yeah.
I saw people, this one didn't bother me. I used to see people, I heard Ari Anani, people praying by the Ari's cattle.
I hear it. It says in the Shar Ruach HaKodesh, one of the Sfarim of Rav Chaim Vital, on page Mem Tes, that Rav Chaim Vital asks advice to the Arizal regarding going to the cemetery and to ask ask for Mechila about a Jew that he may be insulted. So the Arizal told him, don't go into the cemetery, better to walk around the cemetery and not go in because of the negativity that comes from visiting a cemetery. Now, what about the sheets of the Gra? The Chayadam, who was married into the family of the Vilna Gaon, and was always machped on the Minhagim of the Gra, writes in Kuflam Hechafei that Lo Yelchu al Hakvar Mafilo Akivre Yisrael ki haruchos misdavkim bo chas v'chalila. Negativity comes from visiting the cemetery. Im lo l'tzor chameis el yamdu barach of dal amos. Stand 4 amos away from all of those buried there. And Rav Moshe Feinstein writes in the Rosh Moshe Noradeya Beis Kuf Samach Beis. And he is discussing that Magen Avraham. And he writes something interesting. He says that really, person maker Adin should even avoid going to Kivrei Avos. Rav Moshe doesn't seem to be such a fan of going even to visit one's parents. And he says, Aval Af Sha'olam Noagim Leilech Al Kivrei Avos, even though it is that people go to visit Kivrei Avos, the graves of their parents, V'choshvin Zeh L'Kavod Av, because they think that it's Kibud Av. Rav Moshe is making a comment about why people go. He says people think it's Kibud Av to go. But the implication would be for Rav Moshe that he doesn't think necessarily that it is the fulfillment of Kibud Av. Rav Avraham Yosef writes in Yabi Omer Chelek Dal Yoredei Lamed Hey Hey. He says it's a mitzvah to go, and he says Shomer Mitzvah L'Yedei Davar Ra. Even though the Arizal and all these posts say there's negativity in going to visit the cemetery unnecessarily, Shomer Mitzvah L'Yedei Davar Ra, you're going there for a mitzvah to visit parents, and therefore the negativity will not harm a person. Certainly against the story of the Gra, who would not even go to visit his mother, who was buried next to him, and when the old cemetery was about to be hurt, that he was reinterned with other people, and there's a big discussion. Professor Lyman has a whole discussion about who's buried in which kever, and where bodies moved around, and is it which one which, and records regarding what happened. But regardless, his mother was buried with him as well. Now, Rav Sternbach writes in Tshuvas Hamagos in Chelek Beis in Simen Samach Dalin. He thinks the Gra has no issue with Beis HaKvaros in Eretz Yisrael. Where does he get this idea? He says, V'hinei, it's not on the sheets. Sorry. V'hinei, Mekubal Etzleinu, Sh'Rabbeinu HaGra Zatzal Himlitz L'Leches L'Kvaros. We have a Mesorah that the Gra said not to go to the cemetery. U'manem b'fi kama Tamil Chachamim Zahayin B'chutz L'Aretz. And he says, one could argue from Tamil Chachamim that this is only outside of Eretz Yisrael. Aval be'Eretz Yisrael Kulei Amo Roya L'Vachar Kivros Tzadikim. He says, Eretz Yisrael, the whole tourism industry is built on visiting Kivrei Tzadikim. What's going to happen? How can you say no one's going to go to Kivrei Tzadikim? Vein b'dvarim eilu shiroi levaka b'kivrei tzadikim shiroi Yisrael k'dei tam. Rak lehefech. B'chutz la'aretz, and outside of Eretz Yisrael, makom kivrei tzadikim kadosh kein kedushas Eretz Yisrael. A person may say that the grave of a tzaddik outside of Eretz Yisrael has kedushas Eretz Yisrael, as if the holiness of land of Israel. V'atfilos miskablo shama yosa, and there's greater acceptance of tefillah over there. And then he says, v'mekubalim anu mipi ha-kadosh ha-mekubal bal ha-leshem. We have a tradition from the Baal HaLeshem, Rav Yashu's grandfather, that by Kivrei Tzadikim in Chutz La'aretz Yeshna Kedusha Eretz Yisrael, al pi Kabbalah, it has an aspect of Eretz Yisrael, u'be'eretz Yisrael einei Hashem l'kecha ba tamid v'lo tzarf beis ha-kros dafka, mikamakom. Tam ha-gra shelo leilech le-kivros mishum ha-chitzonim shebeis ha-kros yishomar d'Eretzal Kedusha, since Eretz Yisrael is holier, the negativity that comes from the graves will not be as effective in Eretz Yisrael, and therefore, says Rav Sternbach, even those who are machbid for the minhag of the Gra to not go would be allowed to go in Eretz Yisrael because that level of Ruach Ra does not exist in the Holy Land. So this is halachic issue number one, attending the cemetery for unnecessary reasons. We see the Gra, even in the old cemetery in Vilna, would not go to visit his mother, and the Mesorah and the traditions that came from the Beis Medrash of the Vilna Gaon. Issue number one. Let's move on to issue number two. And that is being buried in tzitzis. The minhag is that we bury in a talis. This is clear from the Gemara. And our minhag is to place the talis on right before the burial, right over the kittel. Now, if there's a discussion if the person was in Tum or not, should they get a talis or not, because it might be loig the rush, it might be mocking them because they didn't wear a talis. And if the person suffered, the post can say, maybe we'll put a talis in anyway because he might have done shuva. So there are all different discussions regarding the putting of the talis over the mace before he is buried. Now the Gemara Menachos from Aleph and Aleph says that tzitzis are placed on the shrouds of the deceased and there's no issue of law of the rush. It's not mocking the dead. The Gemara has discussions there regarding what's going to happen by tzchias ha-maisim. Now there's a comment of Tosas here, which again I did not put on the sheets, I apologize. Tosas and Brachos and Dr. Chesam and Aleph asks that if this is the case, why already in the days of the Baal Yatosis is there a minhag to remove the tzitzis from the talis before the person is buried? So there are three answers suggested in Tosos. Rabbeinu Tam says that the Gemara is referring to specifically to people of those days who were makbid on wearing dalad kanfos tzitzis, who wore four-cornered garments. But in the days of the Baal Yatosis, they were not careful to wear tzitzis. If they had a four-cornered garment, they would put tzitzit on it. But they didn't go out of their way like we do to put on a four-quartered garment to have tzitzit. And therefore, it would be loig l'rush for a person who never wore tzitzit to dress him in a talus before he's buried would be mocking him because he didn't fulfill these mitzvos. But if the person was careful about tzitzit, then says Rebbe Tam, certainly they should be buried with a talus with tzitzit. Ah, so he says, why is it then about those great tzaddikim who do wear dalad kanfos, the four-cornered garments, do we not bury them with a talus with tzitzit then? So Rebbe Tam says, because it would be mocking the other people in the cemetery who didn't. This guy's going to be buried with tzitzit, and his neighbor doesn't have tzitzit because he wasn't careful about it, and that would be mocking them. This would be Lo Gerush, mocking the deceased. This is answer number one from Rabbeinu Tam. Then Rabbeinu Tam cites the men of Lucir. The men of Lucir was that the reason we remove the tzitzit is because the gematria of tzitzit, which is 600 plus 8 strings and 5 sets of knots, knots is 613, which is Taryag, and consequently, Tosa says, attaching tzitzit to the garment would convey the impression that this person who's being buried with the talus fulfilled all 613 mitzvahs, and therefore, we don't bury the person with tzitzit on the talus. And then he cites the Maseches Sofrim in Perek Yud Beis, where it says that Abba Shaul instructs his children to remove the tzitzit from his clothing when he died, and Tosa says, why are you following Maseches Smachos over Gemara and Menachos? So Tosus gives two or three examples where we do sometimes follow other Sfarim over the Gemara. Abkan Tosus, the minhag and the tradition to remove the tzitzis from the mace. Now Tosus says that the Ritzba, one of the Balia Tosus, would not remove the tzitzis from his clothing, but rather he would attach them and stick them in the corner. He would make a pocket inside the corner. So it would have tzitzis, but he would tuck it inside. There would be tzitzis, but it wouldn't be mocking because nobody would see it. Now the Shulchan Aruch says that the talus that a man is buried in has tzitzis, and some say it doesn't need tzitzis. So the minhag is that it has tzitzis before the kvura, and then before the kvura, they're made pasul. And he wraps them in the talus with tzitzis, and then the tzitzis are removed. Which leads us now to the sheet of the gra. In the Bir HaGra, here in Yoredeya, where this is cited in Shin and Alf, and again in Hilchot Tzitzis, in Simen Chaf Gimel, so the Gra says that, no, the talus of the deceased should have tzitzis like the Gemara Menachos, against Rabbeinu Tam and the Minhag of the Baal Yatosis. This is the sheet of the Gra, Halacha Lemaisa. And he adds that in the generation of the Baal Yatosis, they didn't know about Masecha Smachos. If they would have had this safer from the Amoraim and the Gaonim, they would have known about this and they would have been said to keep the tzitzis off, but they weren't aware of the sefer that we have right now. So says the Gra, which leads to a story. Let's look in the sefer Minchas Yehuda on page 197, Rabbi Yehuda Yudel Epstein. And this is the earliest recording of this story. Shamati mipi mori aluf nu'rai harav hamuvhak morenu Yosef Griver. I heard from Rav Yosef Groiver of Slutsk in Shnas Tafkuf Ayin Hay in the Kiel Kadosh of Lusk. Shishama beVilna, that he heard in Vilna, mipi ish naman, from a trustworthy person, Shirabenu Hagon Rav Eliyahu Achasid Zatzal, Tziva letalmido Rav Sadja, Shalo yasiru tzitzis mitalisu b'mos. He told them, I'm giving you instructions before I die, don't take the tzitzis off my talis, said the Grah. Aval Mais Shai Kachaya, what happened? Shabe Shavilu Lakaver Lohaya Rav Rav Saja Bilna. By the procession to the burial, Rav Saja, the Talmud of the Gra, wasn't in Vilna. Bipikanasa al Khakasukos Lebeso. We know the Gra died by Chol HaMoed, and he was somewhere else, and he wasn't there for Yantif. Rabbeinu HaGrazal Nifter Bechol HaMoed Sukkos, Tafkuf Nun Ches, in 1798. Ksheesiru at tzitzis mitalisa. So, what?
Because the sukkahs would be before you change the year.
Oh, before the year. Correct.
For the second year.
So, mitalisa. Ukvar kasu es gufo hatohar binisar mel yonim. And they cut the tzitzis off his talus. And they nailed the top of the coffin in. That was it. No going back. Bar Rav Saja talmido babal lo besak veros. Rav Saja burst into the cemetery. But suck mori hachasid sivani shalom lipso las tzitzio sav. The Rebbe told me, the Vilna Gaon told me not to make the tzitzis puzzle. Va'amdum l'ksoso ba'efer, v'yashu k'soso b'tidinim, sham ba'osa maimet ha'echlasos. So the basin Vilna said, what are we going to do? The Gra said this, but he's in the ground. What are you supposed to do? Im lahatil tzitzis k'shem michadosh b'taliso, should we get a new talis for the Gra, a new tzitzis for his talis? V'nizraka mipi chabura, and the basin paskind, Shemeachar Shemin Hashemayim Achvu Es HaRav Rav Sadja, since it was Min Hashemayim that Rav Sadja was away for Sukkot, and he wasn't there to tell them what to do, V'lo Bad La'achar Shepasl Tzitzi Yosav Shal Grazal, and he only came after they ruined the Tzitzis, Ein Sorech Lahatzal Tzitzis Mechadosh, we don't need to put new Tzitzis on, V'chein Nikbar B'kechol HaGadol in Rav Seinu, Nochein Nefesh Lo Tzitzis, and therefore in Shemayim they paskins against the Gra, and they said you have to be buried without Tzitzis, Maisa, Shahaya. So this is, again, happened in the famous old cemetery in Vilna. This mice is also cited in the Aruch HaShulchan. The Aruch HaShulchan in Shinnun Aleph says that he heard of two Gedolim that tried to do this. One is the Gra, and the other, he says, is the Alexander Ziskind, the famous author of the Yesod, the Shorash HaAvoda, the Kabbalistic Perush on the Siddur. Look over here in the Aliyos Eliyahu in Aruch Kuf Yud Tes for the story of the Yisod Rishar Shavoda, even better than the story of the Gra. He says, V'hinei re'isi ani b'ksav yad kodesh. I saw the following story written down. Meharav ha-chassid, Rav Alexander Ziskin, Zatzal, Bal Mechaber, Yisod Rishar Shavoda, b'hatzava ha-chrona. He commanded in his last will, and he wrote a number of wills, but he commanded in his last will, al odos k'varos regarding his burial, v'ma'ara tamido harav harav heshel rinus of Haradna, and he wrote Siva Harav HaChassid Marina Rav Ziskind. On the top of the next page, he says Shigbur Oso in Talis Mitsuyot Kehilchaso. I command that I should be buried, says the Yisod Rishar Shavoda, with tzitzis. V'lo kasher nagu livsol, not like the minute to take off the tzitzis. V'nei kasher niftar shalos Harav Rav Daniel Bal Mechaber Chamudi Daniel. They asked the dying of Haradna what to do, because he said this, and this is against the minug. He says, really, we shouldn't go against the minhag olam, but he says, I'm not going to pass him against the Yisod Rishar Shavoda. Who am I? So he said, fine, bury him with his talus. Vayehi b'hanichem osel kivro asher karu lo. Hine nhisvacha echem et tzitzios b'yesodos. The tzitzis got caught on one of the pegs or the nails asher shamu b'kivro atzia aleihem milmal esadim in order to lower it down. And he says, shayesadin al pishon asoy al yesedos kimin gimel milos v'kasher shama kein ra'isi nifsalo niskaimim achshav ososho satzadik baal yesodos avoda. And it tore off the tzitzis, and therefore the tzitzis were pasal, and in the end of the day, it passed in the Shemayim against him that he should bury the tzitzis. So another meister regarding burying the tzitzis, but another story coming out of the old cemetery in Vilna. Last issue, and that is of Netilas Yadayim in the morning. What's the story with Netilas Yadayim in the morning? What does that have to do with burying people? So the Zohar Kadosh, according to some versions, writes in the Hakdama Daf Yud, that one should not walk Dalad Amos, four steps in the morning, before Netilas Yadayim. We are all familiar with Negelvasser, that you put the cup with the bowl of water next to your bed in the morning. This is based on the comment of the Zohar. This is cited by the Tolos Yaakov, but more importantly, this is cited by the Bach here in Siman Dalad. And the Bach wonders why the Beis Yosef and none of the other Rishonim and Poskim cite this minhag of the Zohar to put Negelvasser by the bed, to be careful not to walk Dalad Amos without washing. What happened to the Zohar? And he says, maybe, perhaps, it's not easy for people to set this up, to have it before you go to bed, it's going to spill, whatever it may be. Umutav shu shogin vali mazidin. Better, he explains that the Beis Yosef didn't want anybody to not know this comment of the Zohar, so he said, don't teach it at all. So he's being melamed zechus, the benefit of the doubt for the Beis Yosef, for not teaching it. But really, he says, this should be the proper thing, to not walk Dalad Amos without washing your hands in the morning. Now the Shvus Yaakov and Chela Gimel Siman Aleph notes that even though there seems to be an active sakana here, it's not cited in Shas, it's not cited in the Poskim, and therefore we're not careful about this. Also, if you look carefully at the Seder of the Tur, when the Tur writes the halachas of how you get up in the morning, He says, only you put on your tzitzis and do everything else, and then, not till simin dalid, do you wash your hands. So it's clear from the order of the tour that he had no intention that you cannot walk dalid amos before washing your hands. Now, the Birkei Yosef says, no, I disagree. I think many people are careful about this, and I see many, many different communities where they are careful about having negel v'aser by the bed, and they do make sure to not walk dalid amos without washing our hands. And he says, there's no reason to be lenient, and therefore, says the Chidam de Birkei Yosef, the best thing to do would be to walk less than dalid amos at a time. Walk less than four steps, stop, less than four steps, stop, to be careful about this. Now, Tosis in Masechus Yuma says that nowadays, the koach hara, the negative spirituality, and other issues of ruchnius has been diminished. And the Lechem Mishnah writes in the laws of Yom Kippur and Shvi'is Aser in the Gimel Beis, that according to the Rambam, the Ruach Ra of Netzil Sadaim doesn't exist nowadays at all. And therefore, it shouldn't be something we need to be so careful about. There are other reasons why we wash our hands in the morning, right? There are three shitas brought on the Beis Yosef from the Zohar, the Rashba, and the Rush. We wash our hands in the morning because of Ruach Ra. Our hands touch something while we were sleeping, or because, just like the Kohanim wash their hands before they serve a Kaddish Baruch Hu, so too we wash our hands in the morning. But the issue of Ruach Ra doesn't apply anymore. And the Tosefes Yom Kippurim, which is a popular commentary in Masechus Yuma, he says that the Gemara in Shabbos Kuf Tes tells us if a person touches his eye without Nesil Sadayim in the morning, he'll go blind. So says the Tosefes Yom Kippurim, look around. I'm sure there are many people who touch their eyes in the morning without washing their hands, and they're not blind. So he says, clearly, whatever happened with the Ruach Ra in the time of the Zohar is not applicable anymore, and therefore there's no reason to be makbid. Which leads us to the story of the Count Patatsky, or the Graf Patatsky, which is famously recorded. The story is true. There are different versions of the details, but the story is recorded in secular sources and in other Jewish communities at that time. Rav Yaakov Emden writes about it, and other communities as well. There was, I'll tell the very basic version, there was a Christian family in Poland who were very well respected, a very prominent family, and their son had a bunch of questions, and through the process of question and answering and meeting different people, he decided he wanted to convert to Yiddishkeit, and that wasn't such a simple thing, and undergo the process of conversion, he went into hiding, and he went to learn in a Beis Medrash that was near Vilna, or in Vilna, different stories, and there's different stories how he was discovered. Either he revealed himself, or a child, something happened with the child, and that was revealed. But it came to light that this very prominent Catholic man converted to Christianity, and that was an embarrassment for the family and the church, and the church was going to burn him for his apostasy, and that was going to be his punishment. The family tried to intervene. Maybe how much they tried to intervene is unclear. He said he wants to die on Kiddush Hashem, and other people tried to intervene, but no, he wanted to give his life on Kiddush Hashem. And the story also goes that the Vilna Gaon went to visit him the night before, and he said, I can use Shemos, different Kabbalistic methods in order to get you out of here. And he said, no, I converted to Yiddishkeit to give my entire life. I believe this is true, and this is the Gzeira, and he was burnt al Kiddush Hashem in a very public manner. I think no Jews were allowed to be there. And the story goes, just connecting the Yisod V'Shor Shavoda, I think the Yisod V'Shor Shavoda snuck in and watched it. I think that's what they write in his biography. He was the only Jew who witnessed the actual burning. The Vilna Gaon instructed that they should go and take the ashes, and the ashes were taken and buried in the old cemetery in Vilna, and the Gra was buried next to the ashes of the Graf Patutsky, or the Avram ben Avraham, the Ger Tzedek of Vilna, and he was buried next to him. And when the Gra's body was reinterred in the new cemetery, the area that was supposedly the location where the ashes were buried in the old cemetery removed to the new cemetery, and the plaque records all this as well. So a third event taking place in the old cemetery in Vilna, and what happened over here? Now, who cares? Very nice. It's a big Kiddush Hashem. He gave his life. What does it have to do with us and washing hands in the morning? Now, the first major discussion of what we're about to say is recorded recently in the Sefer Mikra'i Kodesh by Rav Moshe Harari, who's a prominent Rav in Eretz Yisrael. He writes very popular Sfarim on the holidays. And this is in the Laws of Yom Kippur in Perek Zayin and Har Yud Zayin. And he writes the following thing, that he records that Rav Nevinsol told him that on Yom Kippur, where we know it's an Issur Rechitza, you can't wash your hands, So those who follow the Minhag HaGra, when in the morning they wash their hands, not three times each, rather four times each. The Gra says that the three times are to remove the Ruach Ra, and the fourth time removes the water that has the Ruach Ra. So he said, Rav Nevinsol said, that on Yom Kippur, it's better to do three times, and not four, because the Gra is a Chumrah on the fourth time. Better to do three and not wash too much. He then says that in the Mishnah Brura that Rav Nevinsol put out, he reversed his opinion and he said those who are makif for the Gra can do four times. But what is it all about? With washing and Yom Kippur and being lenient about washing hands in the morning. And then he reveals something that he heard from Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach that was not discussed before. The Rav Shlomo Zalman told him, based on a Masorah from the Gra, that when the Ger Tzedek of Vilna died al Kiddush Hashem, it was such an incredible movement of tahara, of purity in this world, that it was so powerful that it removed the ruach ra that comes from Atil Sedayim in the morning. It was such great kedusha that it removed an aspect of ruach ra from the world. And therefore, a person doesn't need to be as machmir when it comes to Atil Sedayim in the morning because of the acts of the Graf Potutsky and his subsequent burial in the cemetery in Vilna. And he says this is only hinted to in the Sefer HaGon HaChasim in Vilna, one of the earlier biographies. It's not spelled out clearly, but this Rav Shlomo Zalman told Rav Nevinsol very clearly. Now, there's a big discussion regarding who the Masorah came from. So in the Sefer of Shiras David on Tefillah on page 34 by Rav Aaron David Goldberg, who's Rosh Hashiva in Tells, he writes that he heard it from the Rav Shlomo Zalman, heard it from Rav Lev Tordus, who heard it from Rav Zalman Baran, who heard it from Yishai Bardiki, who heard it from the author of the Pesach Shulchan, who heard it from the Gra. And he also heard that Rav Shmuel Auerbach, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach's son, records this as well. And there's a whole piece in Hagon, Sefer Hagon by Rav Eliach in volume 2 on page 1101 about this as well. And there's different Masorahs going back to Rav Chaim Volozhin, who heard what. And there's an article in Yeshurin by Rav David Kamenetsky in Yeshurin Chafal. He questions the Masorah of the Gra. And if the Masorah is true, that the Gra said this thing, that there's no Ruach Ra by Nitzil Sadaim in the morning. But this is the Masorah that Rav Nevinsol records from his Rebbe, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. Now, Rav Shlomo Zalman said, this only applies to things that are not mentioned in Shas. Now, the Shas says we wash our hands in the morning. The Zohar says that you have to be careful about walking Dalet Amos. And therefore, Rav Shlomo Zalman said, one could be lenient about this thing not mentioned in the Gemara because of the events that happened with the Gra and the Graf Potutsky. And therefore, Nevinsol said that one doesn't have to be makbar and walking the four Amos for Netilas Sadayim Shachris. Now, he then notes, Rabbi Harari notes, that clearly the Chafetz Chaim, who is very much in tune with the base medrash of the Gra, never heard this. Right? Why would the Chafetz Chaim, who's very machbit about not walking four Amos, not tell us this Masorah? And the Chafetz Chaim knew all of the Minhagim of the base medrash of the Gra. He quotes the Gra's Minhagim all the time. So clearly, he says that this did not pass through the Chafetz Chaim.
What does the Chayyadim say? That's even closer to Gra.
What?
The Chayyadim is almost contemporary to Gra, just like 10 words.
Correct.
Does he discuss this?
No, he doesn't mention it. So,
I mean, that's because he quotes the Gra all the time. I mean, it's from Vilna itself. I mean,
true. So Rabbi Harari then goes on to say, it's a very long footnote, Rabbi Harari then goes on to say that he was very afraid to publish this because people are going to be mevaza and take light of the Tzeilas Sadayim in the morning. What's going to happen? People, I don't have to wash. The Graf Potutsky was burnt on Kiddush Hashem. Whatever. I'm late for davening. Let's skip it. So he went to Rav Nevinsol and said, can I publish this? And Rav Nevinsol said, certainly you should publish it. You should be made aware of the Masorah and just explain the parameters. In no way should a person be mevaza and take light of washing hands in the morning, but at the same time, one is allowed to be lenient. And in the Halicha Shlomo, from Shlomo Zalman Auerbach's children, and the family in Parak Chaf on Tefillah, in Hara 49, so Shlomo Zalman is recorded as having Negelwasser by his bed. So even though Shlomo Zalman knew about this Masorah, he was still machmir because this is the minhag to make sure you have the water by your bed, and he was always careful about this idea to make sure he had the water over there. So we see here three halachic issues that come from the old cemetery in Vilna. Number one, the issue of Number one was the issue of attending the cemetery. Number two was burying it with tzitzis. Number three, the washing of hands in the morning. And certainly, besides the fact for the bizayin of the mason to have something built there again over the old cemetery, it would be a terrible loss for this connection we have for these areas of halacha, of how many incredible things occurred there and things are learned from over there and the impact that it had on the world Jewry. And certainly it's worth our time to write and petition to make sure that we can do whatever we can as a community to stop the building over of the old cemetery in Vilna.